Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Low Down and Dirty, presented by Garage Talk Live, the place to get the lowdown on dirt track racing from the greater Northeast and beyond. We plan on getting you up to speed and informed on all the latest news in the world of dirt track racing, From the Mile at Syracuse to the Bull Rings of the Midwest, we've got you covered. So get ready for the fastest hour on Blog Talk Radio. And here, with their elbows up and the loud pedal down, your hosts, Joe Adams and Brian Whippy Whitman. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the latest edition of Lowdown and Dirty. I am your host, Joe Adams. As always, to my right, my partner in crime, Brian Whippy Whitman.
Yo.
And to his right, the captain, Mr. Scotty Deal.
Hello. Good evening, everybody.
We have a pretty interesting show here tonight. We have none other than the Godfather, Fast Freddie Raymer himself, in-house. He's already here. He's enjoying some dinner right now with his family.
Man.
Got a ton of people here. Tim Long, representing Big Diamond Speedway, is here. He's going to be chatting with us here in a few minutes. And we just appreciate everybody coming out, man.
Mm-hmm. People are eating right now.
Yes, they are. Mm-hmm. And filling up on wings. And we are live.
Where are we at, Joe?
We are at the Wingman Bar and Grill right here in lovely downtown East Greenville. They are located 622 Gravel Pike, Suite 115 in East Greenville, Pennsylvania. If you're in the neighborhood, stop on by. Check it out. We got a pretty good host of people here tonight, man. Appreciate everybody coming out, man. Thank you very much.
Thank you, everybody. Appreciate it.
What we're going to do is we're going to rip through a couple results so we can get to the Godfather as soon as humanly possible, because Whip is tapping for a vein at this point in time, man. He's going crazy. He got to get the Godfather on. So, first of all, I want to send a shout-out to our dear friend Kylie, who is at home right now. She's a little under the weather. Hopefully she's listening. Hope you feel better soon, sweetheart. And we're all thinking about you, and we definitely miss you here.
We miss her smile.
We do miss her smile.
And her what were those cookies, Pop? Snickerdoodles. Those things rock.
Very, very nice young lady. Hope she gets better soon. I do understand that she was off from school today, so hopefully she's feeling a lot better very, very soon.
Hey, we had some racing over the weekend.
There was.
Down at Delaware, at the Delaware State
Championship.
Sweep of the weekend.
For those of you listening, you are going to hear some background noise here because the bar is pretty full here today. So I do apologize for that. So we're going to try to speak as loudly and clearly as humanly possible. But you are going to hear some background noise. That's just everybody having a good time.
Yeah. So in for the win in the I guess we would just call this the big blocks. None other than Mr. Billy Pouch picked up the win. Ryan Watt was second. Rick Wildbach was third. Matt Jester was fourth. And H.B. Huntley and David Van Horn were your top six. And then, amazingly, getting his 701 and 702 career modified feature win, or career wins in the small block division was Mr. Billy Pouch.
Mr. Billy Pouch, getting the job done once again.
And he won over Craig Von Dorn, David Van, Jamie Miller, Ryan Watt, and our own Big Diamond Grand View driver, Doug. Shout out to Doug for the run down the
road. Well, appreciate that.
Thank you, Doug. We'll talk to the gentleman.
I'm here to help you, Whip. I'm here to help you, buddy.
And I went to Penn Can Speedway for the King of the Can.
King of the Can.
Friday night.
Good show. Did you have a good time?
Good time. Mr. Dale Olson, 40 came up. And double field.
Yeah, we're going to swap headsets with Whippy here. Looks like we might have a headset issue with Whip, so let's see.
Is that better?
Yeah, that's better, Whip. Try that.
Better?
All right.
Yeah.
Sound better?
Yeah, you're in there.
I turned that, dude. Mute. You gave it to me, dude. It was loud as hell.
Water hearing, man. What do you expect?
Dang.
Your cord's in my hot wings now, bro.
No, now it's your cord. I don't know what's up with that headset. What's up with that?
Yeah, it's freaky.
You know?
Can you hear me okay?
I think you're fine right now. We'll just keep going with it. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Well, hey.
What's rocking EA on your headset now, Whip? That's a big responsibility.
Man, I don't know if I can handle it. You know?
Yeah, well.
I don't have no cars or nothing, do I?
It's got to feel tingly down there, doesn't it?
Above, actually.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah. Wow. That's messed up. So, but hey, yeah, so Dale did a killer show up there at, he had a little bit of pressure, though, because when I rolled in, it was 8 o'clock, first modified heat was out, yellow was out, three laps in, and the place was dark.
It's not supposed to be,
what?
It's not supposed to be like that, right?
No.
So, they got it going again, and then the third modified heat, luckily, there was another yellow. And the lights out again. And some gentleman, apparently this was in the parking lot, a generator on one of them tote boys trailers. It was like for a hurricane.
Uh-huh.
Come wheeling through the pits out to the infield. They hooked it all up, turned the switch, and we had lights. The king of the can continued. So.
Yeah.
Dale probably was pulling his hair out.
You know, I would imagine he would have a little worked up at this point, right?
Yeah. You know. Yeah. So, but he had a great field, good turnout of people. And there was no bitching in the crowd about it, neither.
Really? They were pretty calm.
Really calm about it. And they could have had a fiasco.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but they did.
Well, okay, well, you know, kudos to all those people up there keeping their cool, you know, just letting Brett work with it and, you know, solve the problem as best he could.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, kept it good, kept it. And it was great. It ended up being a terrific night. Billy Decker got the probably coolest trophy he'll get all year.
Yeah, if people aren't aware of what the trophy looks like, Whip, why don't you clue them in?
It's a toilet. It's a brand new
porcelain. Yeah, they got a toilet.
You know?
How cool is that? King of the can, man.
Yeah, it's the king of the can. So,
there you have it.
That's pretty cool for Dale to do that. You know? But, then we had Saturday. Grand Speedway. We had some ARTC midgets. We had some Legends cars.
Apparently there were some unhappy fans at Grandview Speedway from the show on Saturday night.
Yeah, well, if you watch Timmy Buck or Stevie Buckwalter, that was worth the money.
There you go.
You know? Because what did he start with? 15?
Something like that, yeah.
He was fairly
there.
Deep.
Yeah, and he just, Stevie finished second to Trevor Copeland. So, Stevie, well, I thought it was worth the price to watch
it. It was, a lot of people, there's been some bashing going on and things like that, and a lot of people are upset, but what are you going to do? There's nothing. Management wanted the show to go on. The track wanted the show to go on. The fans wanted the show to go on. Mother Nature did not. She always wins.
Yeah.
It was unfortunate. I wanted to see the rest of the races, too. It sucks.
Yeah.
But complaining about it isn't going to get you anywhere. I mean, they're doing the best they can. It's at the end of the season. There's no more weeks left to go. So it has to roll over to next year. What are you going to do?
Right.
It's just how it got.
1, 2, 3. We got 4 features in.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, Jordan Oppenheimer won the Sportsman's over Brett Cressley and Kevin Beach and Brian Hertler and Craig Whitmore. So, and that was a good race.
Exactly.
You know, and then, you know, like I said, the ARDC midgets, Trevor Kobler won that. You know, Stevie Buckwater, J.J. Garlulo, and Nick Ween. So, and then Jason Rochelle won the Legend Gangsters. I call them Gangster Cars because they remind me of the old mob. But, and then Ronnie Pex picked up the vintage car feature win, which is cool, seeing those old cars out there.
Mm-hmm.
That is cool.
Those boys race. They're not just putzing around.
They're not show cars. They're racing.
They're racing.
You know, so that was a good night. And then, unfortunately, it rained.
Yeah, it did.
But, hey, what are you going to do? It's part of racing. But we gave out the last gifts, and Mahoning Valley gave us 2 tickets to give away for their Oktoberfest race this Saturday night.
And we got to give them a plug for that, right?
And we got to give them a plug for that because
let's give Mahoning Valley the clap.
That's
we appreciate that. Thank you.
That was cool. So hats off to Dino and the Santee's family for that. That was cool. And, go support Big Dot or Mahoney Valley this Saturday if you're not going to Eastern States. You know, they still got racing. They got 130-lap pancake modified.
That's awesome.
Whoa.
That's serious up there, man.
That's serious.
And they're going to run modifieds, too. Dirt mod.
Right.
So that's cool. I mean, that's cool that they're doing that. So yeah.
Hey, before we get off the Grandview thing, we got a caller wanting to make a comment about Grandview. So I'd like to bring Luke in, and Luke's got something to say about the show and some thank yous on one of the things that happened that was real nice at Grandview on Saturday night. Luke, you still there?
Yeah, I'm here. I just wanted to thank the teams that donated for the kids' costume contest. I'm proud to say my son won, which was pretty cool.
Congratulations, Luke. Congratulations. Nice job.
Yeah, just wanted to thank all the teams that donated. It was really nice of you guys and of Grandview to do that for the kids.
See, so there were some positive things that come out of this Saturday night deal. Four races in. We had a nice costume contest. We had some winners. It's all good.
All good, people.
It's all good. It's all good.
Yeah. Luke's son won. What's your son's name?
Lucas.
Lucas. Yes. All right. Well, congratulations.
Yes. Congratulations.
Lucas.
From all of us here at Low Down and Dirty and on behalf of Grandview Speedway, we definitely congratulate you and thank you for dressing Lucas up, and glad that you had a great time there, and congratulations on winning.
Oh, it's great family fun, and I appreciate everything you guys do, too. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Luke.
Thanks, man.
We appreciate you tuning in, and thank you so much for calling in.
Absolutely. Have a good evening, guys. Have a good rest of the show.
Thank you very much.
Enjoy.
Thanks for listening.
Yep. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Might want to stay tuned. There's some guy over there.
There's a fellow over there about 10 feet away from me that's going to be coming on here pretty soon. Whips foaming at the mouth.
If Luke can call in, other people can call in.
That's right.
All right? And the guest line number is 646-649-1899. Whip, what's that call-in number?
It is. Well, you got me, Captain. 646-649-1899. If you got a question later on tonight for Mr. Freddie Raymer, you want to call in, don't be afraid.
Don't be scared. Don't be shy. Come on, girls. Come on, guys. Get in here. See what's up.
Yeah, you ain't talking to him face-to-face. You're on the phone, man. We're talking face-to-face. Yeah.
There you have it.
But yeah, so
even if you have a question for Joey, you know, you can call.
I'll field questions.
Yeah, field questions.
I'm good to go. If you have a question for Tim Long,
yeah,
he'll field a question.
He'll field questions. Sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you have a comment, a concern, a question,
a worry,
whatever you'd like to do, phone us. We're here for you.
You need a little
counseling. We're like Tuesday night therapy for the local racer.
Wow. Yeah. There's a lot of people in this gang that need some therapy.
Yep.
Mostly you, Scotty.
Well, that could be. Hey.
The Nile ain't just a river in Egypt, my friend.
No.
You have a problem is the first step.
We can take this off the radio, Joe.
Yeah. I got one for you. We don't have Linda's Nationals, do we? Because they got rained out Saturday night and ran Sunday.
I had results from Friday, and I had the press release from Saturday stating that they were going to run on Sunday. I will say this. Julie Weiss, right over there, her son, Kyle.
First time in the
270 National at 14 years of age, finished third. He timed fourth fastest Friday night.
Yep. And he made the podium.
Yep. Very nice.
He deserves
the clap. Good job, Kyle. Very nice.
Not many kids get 14, they got the clap.
Kyle is also the son of former 270 microsprint racer Kent Weiss, and Kent is not only his father, it's his crew chief, and that's a pretty neat package they put together going into the National Open. That was very impressive.
Off the top of my head, you're winning the 270s? Micro.
You are correct. I remember that.
Pretty good, huh? And Mike Leslie got the 600 win because there was a yellow with one to go in the 600, right? Leslie picked up the 600 win. So, you know, and they ran the afternoon.
Yes, they did.
We don't
get a press release.
We don't get a press release, and we still get it covered, you know?
Mm-hmm. Because we are
the voice LDND.
And we are low down and dirty, and that's how we roll.
You got
you
it.
Know, you know, straight up.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, we went by there Sunday. Me and Eric, we went down to Lincoln for the last call. It was rained out Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And we went down there and watched Logan Schuhart pick up the 410 Sprint Car Feature win. And, you know, Mr. Raymer's last call. This is kind of how I describe it now. And we're in the grandstands. Because I remember when Jeff Gordon came in and Richard Petty went out. It's just that. You know? But that's what that reminded me of. Is that better?
Yeah.
I can't even hear me.
Okay, just turn it up. Turn your volume up a little bit. But
It's loud in here. It's very. There's a big crowd
here.
It's very loud.
Getting a lot of feedback in the mics. So you might want to switch your position or something like that. Move down. You might be getting some reflection here off the walls and stuff back into your mic. So
is that better?
Yes. Yeah.
All right.
We cool. All
right. All right.
So yes, yeah, so that was called Logan Schuhart picked up the win. Danny Dietrich was second. Lance DeWeese. Mr. Fred Raymer, and Brian Monkeys was your top five. And Mr. Fred Raymer's last pass was Brian Monkeys.
Yeah, tell us about that. I mean, you called me and told me about, you know, this pass, you know. And
He put a flyer on the bottom. It was great. And coming out of four for the finish, man, Freddie's car just stood up on the back wheels, big wheelie.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. You're telling me his last lap at Lincoln, it was a wheelie down the front stretch?
Yep. Eric, wheelie down the front stretch by the 20S.
That's awesome.
You know, it was cool as hell. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that was in Nicky Young won the 3/5 gate out there. And they ran a heck of a race, too. And shout out to Mr. Wayne Harper. 122 days for the Lincoln Open, February 22nd.
Holy smokes. The countdown is on for 2014.
Yep. So.
Might as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable.
That was cool. So, it was a great, you know, it was a cool tribute to Fred at the end of the night. So a couple of quotes that got to come off of that. They had over the PA system. They had a couple drivers that, you know, something, you know, those messages to Fred. And Doug Wolfgang called him the King Kong of Lincoln.
I heard about that.
I thought that was pretty
cool. That was cool.
Yeah. But it was a great night down at Lincoln. I had a good time. So good call by Eric to go down there. I got to give him a smack on the butt for that. Good team player.
Double pat. Good game.
Yeah, good game there, Eric. Good game. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So, yeah. Yep. Yeah, that was cool. So, but that was my weekend, man. I went Friday, Saturday, Sunday. You know?
Still getting it done in the middle of October.
Yep.
Hey, Whip, how many races was that for you this year?
61 now. 61.
Fred Raymer still ran more races than you went to this year, though.
That's by four.
Yeah, but he's like 54.
I know. How does he do it?
I don't know.
You know, with the throttle.
Yeah. Well,
with the throttle.
Yeah. You know. So, yeah, it was a cool tribute they did down on the front straight. Mr. Al Hamilton was there, and Bob Stewart, Don Ott. It was just so cool.
It's good stuff.
Yeah. Got it. We got a lot to talk about with Freddie, so.
Yeah, I think we do.
You know, we got to make sure he's done eating and everything, though. We can't interrupt the man.
Yeah. Can't interrupt him.
So, what's everybody doing this weekend?
I don't know. What is there to do?
Well, you can go to Eastern States.
Eastern States.
Williams Grove. Or Mahoning Valley. So, you know. All right. So I think we should hit a commercial break shortly. Because it sounds like our guest's about ready to come on. You know?
All right. We can do that. Let's hit a commercial break.
We'll do one commercial. What I like to do is I like to talk about Big Diamond going under the Dirt Car Hoosier banner for next year. And I'm going to get Timmy Long on to talk to us here for a couple minutes. And then we're going to get our good friend, Mr. Fred Raymer, mic'd up. And we'll chat with him till the end of the show. And we'll just keep this rolling. So hang tight here for some more Lowdown and Dirty. We'll be right back in a few short minutes.
Diamond Disposal offers a wide variety of disposal services, including residential and commercial weekly service, roll-off dumpster service, competitive pricing, and special contracting rates. Diamond Disposal serves the Berks County and surrounding areas. For competitive rates and prompt friendly service, please give Diamond Disposal a call at 610-845-1117. Or visit them on the web at www.DiamondDisposalLLC.com. For all of our loyal listeners here at Lowdown and Dirty, Diamond Disposal has been kind enough to offer a one-month free trash removal if you sign on with Diamond Disposal and mention that you heard about this promotion right here on Lowdown and Dirty. So give the fine folks at Diamond Disposal a call and see what kind of savings they have for you. And remember, don't let your cash go out with the trash. Call Diamond Disposal, 610-845-1117.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to some more Lowdown and Dirty. Again, we are live right here from the Wingman Bar and Grill in lovely downtown East Greenville, located on 622 Gravel Pike at Suite 115 in East Greenville, Pennsylvania. Some big news being announced here from Big Diamond Speedway as they are going to race under Dirt Car the Hoosier banner. And my guest right now is Mr. Tim Long from Big Diamond Speedway. Tim, how are you? Welcome to the show.
I'm doing good. Thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it. I'm a little delayed here. I'm hearing in stereo. It sounds a little weird. So.
Yeah, it's a little funky right now. Big news coming from Big Diamond here. I did not see this coming. Obviously, you guys knew what was going on. And what made you go this route?
Yeah, well, it is definitely big news. I don't know that anybody necessarily saw this coming even 2-3 weeks ago. Happened very quickly, and, you know, as most race fans that are listening to this show will see once they get their area auto racing news this week, you know, the main reason for this happening is, you know, the tire thing started the whole deal. Grandview Speedway decided to go the route of New Egypt, Bridgeport, and so many other tracks out there because of the tire money involved. We all know every track, you know, wants the biggest part of the tire money they can get. They went and got a Grandview Speedway stamp only tire. That made the BGP stamp that we've been using forever no good anymore. It's obsolete. It's an antique.
Yeah.
So we had a choice of come up with our own stamp through American Racer or go out and see what kind of deal we could get. And Hoosier Tires stepped up to the plate big time. And we decided to go that route. And in connection with that, there had also been talks going on with Dirt Car. So obviously if you're going to have a Hoosier Tire, it makes sense to be with Dirt Car.
Right.
After that decision, VP contacted us. Next thing you know, we're a VP Racing Fuels track.
Everything all just kind of fell together here. Now, does this change what you initially put out earlier this year with, I believe it's 33-plus cars you're going to pay over $3,000 to win?
That doesn't change that at all. No,
that all stays the same.
Regular feature pays $2,750 to win, $225 to take the green. If we get 33 cars or more, we will pay $3,300, I believe it is. And I believe it's $275. I'd have to look through my notes, but a bump up for everybody through the field if we can hit that 33 car threshold. and we were told by Dirt that would make us the highest paying modified track on the East Coast.
Yes, it would. That's very, very impressive money, and I do applaud your efforts for doing that. It's just amazing. Have you been getting a lot of positive feedback with this extra money? Have race teams contacted you and said, hey, we're definitely going to be there?
Yeah, well, it's a mixed bag. We're definitely get good feedback when you're going to pay the racers more money. Everybody loves that. Good response to the dirt car thing. Little bit of negativity with the Hoosier tire thing, but, and I don't mean this in a disrespectful way, but I don't think people realize the whole tire stamp thing, how it went down. We had to have a brand new tire regardless.
Right.
So it didn't matter what happened. I think people think we're like, oh, well, you could stick with the BGP tire. No.
Right.
That wasn't an option. We had to do something. So regardless, the drivers were going to have to buy two sets of tires no matter what happened.
Exactly.
The only other option would have been to say, okay, we're going to be the only track on the face of the earth that has open tire rule. And get.
Yeah.
It's just not the way racing is, unfortunately. I'm old school, like you, gentlemen.
Yeah.
I wish you could turn the clock back 30 years. And you could bring any tire, any...
It was fun back then.
The racing was a hell of a lot more fun back
then. Yes, it
then.
Was.
But we don't live in that era anymore.
No.
So here we are.
Fortunately, we don't. That's good stuff, though. This is very impressive news, if you ask me. Any other track improvements that Jake and team have made to the facility for the upcoming 2014 season?
No.
Lay down any new play, any new fencing, any new lighting, anything like that?
Well, no, good point. I forgot about that. There is going to be new surface put down. They've screened plenty of it. I'm not sure if they started putting it out on the track yet. Aside from that, though, most of the other improvements were done last year. We all know
right.
about the catch fence, which unfortunately after Kevin Beach flipped, we needed to have a do-over.
Yeah.
But no, everything else is pretty status quo. We upgraded the facilities pretty severely last year. The bigger thing this year is just focusing on the schedule. I think it's a lot more exciting of a schedule than last year, and we're going to continue to move forward, and we're excited about the mesh with the dirt that we're going to do, and think that's really going to help move to the next level.
Great stuff. Timmy, I appreciate you being on.
Mm-hmm.
I can only give you a few minutes because we have the Godfather here. I know you're excited to be here, too, just to see him. You came here as a fan, and he ended up being on the show. But,
absolutely.
Thank you so much for talking to us. Thank you for getting us up to speed with Big Diamond Speedway and the whole dirt car Hoosier deal you got going on here. As always, all of us here from Low Down and Dirty wish you and Big Diamond Speedway the best of luck for next season in 2014. And looking forward to having you on again sometime real soon, my friend.
Anytime you want me. I appreciate your support. We appreciate you helping promote Big Diamond, and looking forward to the rest of the show.
Absolutely.
All right. Thank you, Timmy.
Thank you very much. Tim Long, excellent job.
Good job, man.
Now, what we're going to do now is we're going to take a brief break here, mm-hmm. and we're going to get the Godfather himself mic'd up here in a few minutes. Before we go to break, I do want to send out a little shout-out to our good friends over there at Racers Roundtable.
Mm-hmm.
They are going to be recording a show from Ray Swinehart's Modified Part Depot.
Cool.
Okay? They are going to have... Mike Lace, Ray, and Ron Seltman on the show. So we're doing a little cross-promotion to the radio shows here. We're all friends here, so it's all good.
That's right.
So they're going to be recording on Monday, and you can go to their website, racersroundtable.com, and you can listen to them anytime you want. So check those guys out. They always put on a good show, and we appreciate them being on board with us here as well as us being on board with them. So,
that's right.
Again, another shout-out to Kylie. She sent me a very nice Facebook message for being such a sweetheart, for giving her a shout-out at the beginning of the show. So we're still thinking about you, buddy. So we're gonna
Boy,
take you
have her snowed.
I know. It's pretty awesome, isn't it? So we're going to take another brief break here. When we come back, we're going to have the Godfather, Fast Freddy Raymer, all mic'd up and ready to go. So stay tuned for some more Low Down and Dirty in just a few short moments.
Dude, you're not leaving.
Hey, everybody, this is your old pal Clarence on behalf of Low Down and Dirty. We're going to be talking about some wings tonight here from the Wingman Bar and Grill, located over here in East Greenville, Pennsylvania. The Wingman Bar and Grill serves the freshest, mild, hot, Suicide and Tough Guy Wings if you can handle them. They also have a nice menu of hot and cold subs, pizza, wraps, and panini. The Wingman also has 12 beers on tap and a large selection of cold takeout beer. In addition to the fine eat-in dining experience, a large takeout menu, a wide assortment of beers on tap, the Wingman Bar and Grill also holds special events and entertainment such as Texas Hold'em Poker, trivia, karaoke, and from time to time they even have some live bands. Take advantage of Wingman's outdoor seating for the summer. Enjoy the summertime. The restaurant and bar are open daily from 11:30 a.m. on up at about to 2 a.m. and a bar menu be available at the 10 p.m. So be sure to check out their website for weekly chef specials. You can find them at the web at www.wingmanbarandgrill.com. You can also find them on Facebook at www.facebook.com/The Wingman Bar and Grill. The Wingman Bar and Grill has been voted best wings in Philly for 4 years in a row. Also voted best burger in 2010. For takeout service, call in your order at area code 267-923-5067. Stop on by and bring some friends and make a night of it. The Wingman Bar and Grill is located at the shops at Upper Hanover and downtown East Greenville, PA. Stop on in. Clarence will be over there eating some wings and chowing down. Grab a beer and have some fun. Let's all go to the Wingman in East Greenville.
We're on. Get up there.
Hey, welcome back to some more Lowdown and Dirty. We have our good friend, the Godfather, Mr. Fast Freddie Raymer, all mic'd up. Fred, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
We appreciate you being on. I'm going to read a little excerpt that a fellow by the name of Jeremy Elliott wrote back in 2012. All right, this is we found this very, very interesting here. It's titled, Don't Sleep on Fred Raymer. It's easy to write off an aging veteran in racing. You're only as good as your last lap, your last race, or in this case, your last season. And statistics are hard to refute in this game. Raymer had one of the worst seasons as a sprint car driver. He had 2 wins and 79 starts with the Chad and Jen Clemens owned team. And towards the end of the season, the two parties went their separate ways. This led to questions about Raymer's ability. And at 54, and after a couple of hard crashes over the last few years, speculation is that one of Central Pennsylvania's best drivers had lost it. Don't believe it. Here we are in 2013. Again, this was written by Jeremy Elliott last year. Here's the 2013 quick stats on Fred. Starts, 65. Wins, 7. Top 5s, 40. Top 10s, 60. Besides all that, in 2013, Williams Grove Speedway, champion. Lincoln Speedway, champion. Speedway Motors, Central PA, point champion. And Williams Grove National Open winner. Jeremy Elliott wrote, Don't Sleep on Fred Raymer, and we should have heeded those words. Fred, first of all, congratulations on an unbelievable 2013. We're sad to see you go. Thank you for all the memories. How does it feel stepping out this way?
Well, I mean, if you were going to write your exit strategy, that it would have been something like that. I felt if I'd have been in better shape this year and a couple other things, I'd have won a ton of races. We were able to win the races we did, and, you know, because we had, you know, pretty good equipment and real good help. So I couldn't have wrote it no better. I mean, to win the National Open and to do it with my boys and a group of people that we were with, it was really special.
Right.
I mean, what was that feeling when you came off the scales? I mean, it kind of like you said, all the outlaw guys greeted you on the backstretch. But when you pulled out onto the track and you got out of that car, what was going through your mind? I mean, we were there. Everybody was jacked. I seen grown men crying.
I mean, you know, as a racer, I race for the respect of the people that I respect, and I appreciate all the fans' response. Coming across the scale was really special, you know, knowing it was the last outlaw race I was ever going to run. Hard to win your first outlaw race, but to win your last one is, you know, even more difficult. And it's one of the things that I had set for a personal goal, was to do that. I wanted to be the most wins. I wanted to have all the track titles. I wanted to win Speed Week, and I wanted an outlaw race. We dropped the ball on a couple of them, or I did, and we still had an unbelievable year and couldn't be happier. But the fan response and the fact that nobody left, it was quite overwhelming, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm. Good
and
stuff.
Then, yeah, you're coming down, they're pushing you, you're coming down the front straight, and Mr. Ellis is standing there waiting for you, and, dude, this guy comes out of nowhere. He was like 6'10". It picked you up. Did you know who he was?
I didn't have a clue, but I figured if he wanted to do something to me, he was going to have his way. There was no stopping him. He was a big guy.
Mm-hmm. I mean, because when we came from back straight and we got on the front straight, Fred, there had to be 200 people on the front straightaway just still shaking your hand, thanking you. I mean,
yeah, it was. I, you know, as long as I've raced and at our level of racing, and it's just sprint car racing, I've never seen nothing. Nobody, you know, I know nobody at the track. They told me they've never seen a response like that. Nobody left. You know, usually five to go, everybody's leaving or thinking of leaving. Yeah. And it was quite overwhelming and very well appreciated. But, you know, to do something for 28 years and not get it done, then be able to do it with your kids, I'd have waited 50 years to do it. It was
exactly. It makes all the difference. It does. And speaking of your kids, both of your sons race. And how's it feel to watch instead of be watched?
It's way harder. It's going to be tough this year, and it's really going to be tough. You know, when you know what they're out there up against, you know, and what can happen and all that stuff. But you just teach them the best you can. And I don't know that you can teach people to race. I think it's something you just got to learn by doing.
I agree. Yeah.
I think the biggest problem, and I've already seen it, is overcoaching, and that's what I got to watch. I just go out and have fun and do what you think you need to do, because I know the couple times I've got fired as a driver, I'm driving down the straightaway thinking what the owner wants me to do. You might as well quit that day.
Yeah.
So I just got to make sure that I don't do that to my kids. And if they can go out and have fun and be safe, it'll be a really good way for me to finish my race.
Awesome stuff. How many years, and this goes all the way back to the modified days you started at Grandview Speedway, how many years total have you been racing?
About 2,000.
Yeah. Feels like it, huh?
Yeah, my wife knows all that stuff. I truly don't. In racing, like you said earlier, the thing that I think wore me out the most is you go and you always feel that you have to perform at a certain level. And if you don't, you disappoint so many people, the people you help, my boys, all the sponsors. And that's the thing that wears you out. You know what I mean? Because the statistics mean nothing. Absolutely nothing. The only thing that matters is the right here and now as a racer.
That's
because
right.
Because you can't go and say, I've won this many outlaw shows or this. Because you might not even make the next one.
That's
and
right.
that's the part I think that, you know, I would leave to go to an outlaw show as long as I've raced. Be sick to the stomach worrying that I was going to fail or I'm not going to miss that part of it. It's just that also is why it's so rewarding.
Mm-hmm.
The same thing that knocks you in the dirt is the same thing that gives you an unbelievable feeling.
So by you saying this to me, Fred, do you feel that fear of failure motivates you more than winning?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I would say definitely. I mean,
it's very interesting.
I always said when I was really running good, I said, not only must I succeed, everyone else must fail miserably. You know, because it's just a way to get in the competition's head, and you know what I mean? And in sprint car racing and probably every form of racing, you do stuff that is not natural. You know, it's stuff that's above and beyond in certain situations. And if you don't have unbelievable amount of confidence, that's why. And I said something at the National Open that the people you're with can beat you way easier than the people you race against. There's nothing truer than that, because if the people around you don't have confidence in you and you
that's
don't
right.
have confidence in yourself, you could have all the money in the world and you just want to be beat every day of the week. It's just the way it is.
I've said that a million times. You're only as good as the people you surround yourself with. And you surround yourself with class people and good people. Good things are going to happen to you.
Yep, without question, without question. And if I had a good atmosphere around the car versus all the money in the world,
mm-hmm.
you're still better off with the latter.
Yep. Now, to be a Debbie Downer here, do you have any regrets in racing? Would you do anything differently? Would you start the sprint car sooner? Would you have stayed in a modified longer? Or do you think it just all laid out the way it was supposed to for you?
Well, the only thing I'd do different, I think racing Grandview was the best thing I ever did. Because if you can race at Grandview, I believe you learn to restart, which is big in sprint cars.
Mm-hmm.
And the one thing I know, you know, I know quite a few things, or I feel that I know. I'm not the best driver in Central Pennsylvania by far. I'm probably the most determined, and I'm definitely the best restarter. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And that got me a lot of wins.
Yeah.
But all that stuff come from running Grandview and modifieds. You know, we started 20th back then, and which they probably still do. And you either do it or you don't get it done. And that definitely helped me. If I would do anything different before I ever started racing sprint cars, I'd have spent a year racing with somebody that was doing it.
Yeah.
Because I spent the first 4 or 5 years doing things the wrong way. And then I had to relearn, and I was always with good people. But you spend so much time doing the things the wrong way, learning the wrong habits.
Right.
You know, especially for modifieds, like Frank Cozy come up. He's a great driver.
Mm-hmm.
But all the stuff you do in a modified is wrong in a sprint car. And it just takes too long to change them habits. So that'd be the only thing I'd do different. I don't know that I ever wanted to run the World Outlaws. It didn't fit into my program. They're a great group of guys and the best racers there is, but it never really was the thing I wanted to do.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
You all right, here's one. You and Moon have been together for, it seems, a long time now. What's Moon like been for you for your career?
Well, I mean, when I was at Hamilton's, we won a ton of races, and then we stopped winning races. Well, in racing, you have a shelf life that's pretty short. You know,
mm-hmm.
4 or 5 years, you start to hate the way the other guy breathes. You know what I mean? And when that happens, it's time to move on. It didn't make him a bad person or me a bad person. It's just,
right.
You know, you can only do something at a certain level for so long.
Right.
Then you got to get recharged, pissed off, whatever it takes.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got fired from Al, I could easily accept that because I told him. I said, you know, me and Al talked the other night. I said, it was over. You know, I told him he should have fired me because we weren't getting it done. We used to have meetings in his office. It was like the Green Mile. You go up there and, you know, you walk into the office and he'd say, what do I need to buy? I said, you know, we didn't need to buy nothing. But me and Moon stopped working good together. That didn't mean Moon was bad. It just wasn't working.
Mm-hmm.
Right. This year it was really special. He's really good with my kids, which means more than anything. And he's going to be with me next year with my kids. So
awesome. Good
awesome.
To know.
It's good. It's he did a hell of a job to get an old guy as much success as we've had this year. He did a really good job. And Moon don't play around. When he makes a change, it's huge. You don't have to come back 5 weeks. It's huge. It's either going to be really good or you're going to really suck.
Wow. That's cool. I mean, so what are you going to do now? Are you into kids? I mean, you know, it's going
to
be...
I got a couple things, and I can't say yet what we're going to do. It has nothing to do with me racing again, but it's involved with racing, so we'll have that out in a little bit. But I've got more. I mean, we're going to have to gear up on equipment, which we've already started to do. Most of my sponsors, all of my sponsors will be back to help my boys out. I've neglected everything for 30 years or whatever the hell it's been, so I got plenty of stuff to do.
Yeah. And he already, little Freddie already has a win for you. So you got the taste of victory lane at Kutztown.
I tell you, that being said, that Kutztown deal is by far the neatest deal. Dollar and cents wise, it's the most cost effective racing. And the race against guys like Kenny Brightbill and Billy Pouch and Rick Eckert and Strunk, Von Dorn and Thief and all that. And at the end of the night, you can't leave there and say, well, they had more money or they had more this. If
it's all the same.
You got beat.
That's
but if you win, it's huge because there's so much talent there, it's unbelievable.
That's
and it's
right.
affordable, and it's good. It's a relaxing atmosphere. That's the best thing going right there.
Mm-hmm. And with that being said, you guys will be back at Kutztown in 2014 with both cars, or just two cars?
I'm not sure. I don't know if I can afford. I don't know that I can afford to have sprint cars and speedsters. I would like to, because, you know, when you start out, to keep your head on straight, you got to have some success somewhere. It's going to be a steep learning curve for anybody that gets in racing. My kids are no exception. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So I'm not sure what we're going to do there yet. I'd love to, but I'm not sure.
What helped with Kutztown is it's somewhat of a shorter season than most.
Without question. And you go up there and it's the cars aren't expensive to run,
mm-hmm.
but it's still, it divides your attention from the other ones. So I hope to be there, but I can't guarantee we will be.
Gotcha. Well, we appreciate your honesty on that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So what was it like? Okay, I mean, you're on the starter's finish line at Lincoln on Sunday, and you got all these previous car owners. It was kind of like a roast, in a way, you know, for you. I mean, Mr. Al Hamilton was there with the 7-7 and Bob Stewart and everybody. You've been in so many great cars. I mean, is there one favorite car that you drove? Joe Harvey, the set was, or are they just all just special on their own?
Well, they were all good, and they all have their good points. But I had a very good relationship with Joe and Peggy, and I did with Al and Jim and Sandy, and Bob Stewart's a super nice man. It's nice to see everybody, and I felt like we were inconvenienced, or I was inconvenienced. That's why my whole goal this year was to just do the best I could, and then just slither off into the sunset. I wanted no fanfare, and it turned out, and I did appreciate it all. It was very special, but it's not what I intended to happen. But it was definitely a special time, and all the people coming up meant a lot to me. But there, it was just nice to see everybody go out of their way mm-hmm. to come up. And I know it's an inconvenience, but it was very nice.
But see, for us as fans and stuff to watch, I mean, we just you couldn't go out as just low key, Fred. We couldn't let you do that.
Yeah, that was definitely what I wanted to do, though.
Yeah,
you're too well respected.
Yeah, on Sunday I didn't do as good a job as I could have. I mean, the car was fast enough to run up front. We only run fourth, and at the races, you know, everybody says I'm miserable and this. You just get so focused. You only got time for one thing, and you know, everything else is a distraction that isn't going to help you win. And so if you end up being miserable because of that. So all that being said, with as much stuff that's going on, it made it hard to be just a racer. But one race is not too much to ask to give up. So it was definitely a special time. My wife organized it all, and she did a really good job. Like I said, I just didn't want to inconvenience everybody and put everybody out.
Well, you didn't inconvenience anybody.
It was an honor.
It was all good.
Now you mentioned your wife, Debbie. Debbie has been by your side here probably, as far as I know, since day one, and she's been a very integral part of your operation here. Would you like to give her a little shout-out, a little thanks?
Yeah, well, obviously she knows. I mean, racing is the most selfish thing in the world. I mean, if you're not totally focused, and from Monday till Sunday on racing, so, again, everybody else takes it in the shorts. You know what
That's
I mean?
Right.
That's the way it is. So for her to put up with it all that time is pretty ridiculous.
I think he's trying to say thank you, Debbie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let's give Debbie a round of applause.
Let's get Mrs. Rainer.
There you go.
Yeah. I mean, you're always Mrs. Rainer to me. I'm sorry. I mean, that's just who I is. But so, when you strapped into that first URC sprint car, what was it like? Did you know right then and there the modifiers are done?
It was interesting. Todd Rittenhouse's car is who I drove, and Grandview had paid for me to run that car as a promotion deal. And Todd Rittenhouse come up to me and said he still has the original letter from Ernie Saxton, which I thought was pretty cool. He's going to get me a copy of that. But
nice.
I drove that car, and I think I run fifth or something. It didn't have power steering, and it had a bolt-on roll cage, which tells how old I am, you know what I mean? But it was definitely so different that I knew that that's what I wanted to do. It's just so much different. And I love modifieds, and the driver I am is because of modifieds, back then is what we called that. But I was done. I was about the same point that I am right now in racing. I just had seen enough. You know what I mean? And I love doing it. It's hard to explain. I still love racing, but personally,
right.
I was just done with that. And I think at the time, Bruce Ellis had done an article in Stock Car Magazine on me, and I said, if I can't get a sprint car ride, I'm quitting. And lucky Joe Harris stepped up and gave me a ride, and, you know, I was very fortunate in that way. But I tell you, that would be a lot harder to do today, because if you don't bring your own cash, you're going to be in trouble.
You're
things
in trouble. Yeah.
Definitely changing. But to drive a sprint car is something you can't describe. And to this day, I mean, I still get in, and with all the horsepower and how quick stuff happens, it's amazing. I know I'll miss that part, but it's ridiculous. So you can't even describe it. But it was definitely good. It was definitely a different deal back then.
As you got into your mid-40s and into your 50s, did you see yourself preparing differently for sprint car racing, mentally and physically? Do you have a workout regimen? Do you do anything like that?
Yeah.
You just chuckle.
My workout regimen. I mean, realistically, I mean, I dropped the ball this year. If I'd have been in better shape, if I'd have had the car this year with Moon and my boys working on it, and I was 40 in the same situation, we'd have won a ton of races.
Gotcha.
So I left stuff on the table.
Yeah,
you know I mean. I can't, you know, I can't change time, and basically
that's it.
Too lazy to work out. So
we understand.
Yep.
We definitely understand.
Was Syracuse the scariest track you ever raced at? The Moody Mile?
Yeah, I whatchamacallit. If they run sprint cars there, it'd be a memorial race before too long at this point.
Yeah.
You know, I myself think Bridgeport is almost too big for the sprint cars. But I mean, that being said, we lost Kramer Williamson at Lincoln.
Yeah.
You know I mean, it's just one of them deals. I've always liked running third miles, 3/8 at the most.
Yeah.
Because I like side-by-side racing and passing, not getting
in
line and going a million miles an hour. So
my
preference is always short tracks. And truthfully, I think the best race in the area is probably Path Valley, which is a 9-10 second
very
track.
Small. Yeah.
You know, but you're always racing. It's just more fun.
Very, very interesting. Well, I tell you what we're going to do. We're getting up on the 9 o'clock hour. We're going to take a brief break. We're going to sell some product. We're going to stay on here with Fred. Fred, you're still good on time here yet?
Yeah.
Okay, very good. So we're going to take a brief break. We're going to run a couple commercials, and we're going to be back with some more Lowdown and Dirty right after this.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Diamond Disposal offers a wide variety of disposal services, including residential and commercial weekly service, roll-off dumpster service, competitive pricing, and special contracting rates. Diamond Disposal serves the Berks County and surrounding areas. For competitive rates and prompt friendly service, please give Diamond Disposal a call at 610-845-1117. Or visit them on the web at www.DiamondDisposalLLC.com. For all of our loyal listeners here at Lowdown and Dirty, Diamond Disposal has been kind enough to offer a one-month free trash removal if you sign on with Diamond Disposal and mention that you heard about this promotion right here on Lowdown and Dirty. So give the fine folks at Diamond Disposal a call and see what kind of savings they have for you. And remember, don't let your cash go out with the trash. Call Diamond Disposal, 610-845-1117. For 26 years, Joe Adams Lettering, LLC has been providing graphics and lettering to a large base of clientele throughout the United States, and even as far away as St. Martin's, Netherlands Antilles. Services include signs, truck lettering, race car lettering, logo design, and much, much more. Joe Adams Lettering LLC is the graphic provider of choice for many of the local schools, churches, athletic departments, racetracks, and promoters alike. Our friendly service and attention to detail ensures that our clients are receiving the finished product that they want, need, and desire. Starting a company and need to get recognized? We have full branding capabilities, from logo concepts to the finished product, placed right on your sign, company truck, van, letterhead, and business cards. all done right here in-house at our Bechtelsville facility. Joe Adams Lettering LLC custom designing capabilities set you apart from the competition. We provide custom t-shirt artwork, banners, yard signs, magnetic signs, billboards, and much, much more. Take advantage of our full printing capabilities and get noticed. From small window decals to full wraps, we got you covered. Give us a call at 484-638-0931. Or you can check us out on Facebook at www.facebook.com/Joe Adams Lettering LLC and like us so you can keep up with some of the latest happenings. Look for our logo on the side of a race car at a local track near you. And remember, love the A, and the A will love you back. Cajun's Candle is a family-owned company that makes the finest quality hand-poured candles you'll find anywhere, in many different colors, sizes, and scents. They use only the best wax and scents to ensure your candle performs to its very best, each and every time. Cajun's uses a unique blend of hybrid wax that consists of a 50% soy and a 50% paraffin mixture, enabling the best of both worlds in candle making. The soy base is to ensure a cleaner burn while being environmentally friendly, and the paraffin is used to achieve a great scent throw and the ability to add color nicely, giving those bright, vibrant colors that catch your eyes. Cajun's Candles carries a wide variety of gel candles as well. Need a fundraiser for your school or church? Candles make a great item to use for fundraisers for any type of function you may have. Give Cajun's Candles a call at 610-960-5677 or find them on the web at www.cajunscandles.com. And for all you Facebook users, be sure to like them at Facebook at facebook.com/Cajun's Candle.
Hey, hey, everybody, this is your old pal Clarence on behalf of Low Down and Dirty. We're going to be talking about the wings tonight here from the Wingman Bar and Grill, located over here in East Greenville, Pennsylvania. The Wingman Bar and Grill serves the freshest, mild, hot, suicide, and tough guy wings if you can handle them. They also have a nice menu of hot and cold subs, pizza, wraps, and panini. The Wingman also has 12 beers on tap and a large selection of cold takeout beer. In addition to the fine eat-in dining experience, a large takeout menu, a wide assortment of beers on tap, the Wingman Bar and Grill also holds special events and entertainment such as Texas Hold'em Poker, trivia, karaoke, and from time to time they even have some live bands. Take advantage of Wingman's outdoor seating for the summer. Enjoy the summertime. The restaurant and bar open daily from 11:30 a.m. on up at about to 2 a.m. and a bar menu be available at the 10 p.m. So be sure to check out their website for weekly chef specials. You can find them at the web at www.wingmanbarandgrill.com. You can also find them on Facebook at www.facebook.com/The Wingman Bar and Grill. The Wingman Bar and Grill has been voted best wings in Philly for 4 years in a row. Also voted best burger in 2010. For takeout service, call in your order at area code 267-923-5067. Stop on by and bring some friends and make a night of it. The Wingman Bar and Grill is located at the shops in Upper Hanover and downtown East Greenville, PA. Stop on in. Clarence will be over there eating some wings and chowing down. Grab a beer and have some fun. Let's all go to the Wingman in East Greenville.
Hey, folks. Back here with Wingman with Mr. Fast Freddy Raymer. Chat. A lot of people here. We got even Mr. Your car owner came down to hang out with you. You're big. You don't think so, but you're big, man. You know? You're something else. Let's see. 168. Do you think anybody will ever beat your career wins at Lincoln?
Yeah, it's more than I ever thought I'd get. It's pretty incredible. I know when I beat Mr. Smith's record, it was a pretty hard thing to do. It'd be really hard to do today.
And what's it like to go to a track? I mean, every Saturday night, you've been racing. Pretty much.
What's going on?
I said, it seems like every past Saturday night for, what, the past 26 years, you've been racing.
Yeah,
how'd you keep going?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess just being hard-headed. But, you know, like I said before, racing last week don't mean nothing, so you just keep fighting for the next one. And that's all I've done. And, you know, I did it for a living for a long time. And, you know, everybody else got to go to work every day, so it's no different for a racer. You just go do it and, you know, hang on and do the best you can every week.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just amazing your stats here. I mean, yeah, 5 Tuscarora 50 wins, 8 Kenny Weld Memorials, and there's only been like 16 of them. You ever ran them. I mean, 2 preliminary wins at Knoxville, 27 track champions, 11 at Lincoln, 9 at the Grove. I mean, you've won it in 13 speed weeks. And speed weeks is huge for you 410 guys. That is like a grind for, you know, and the preparation you have to do every night to get ready for a race. Were you guys going back to the shop all the time, or were you working on the road, Walmart parking lots?
Yeah, I mean, I've spent more time in Harrisburg and York in the last, 28 years or whatever it's been than I do at home. I mean, I'm never home on the weekends, it's all been good. I mean, the Speed Week thing is, that's definitely, I always was very proud of that because it's a lot of different tracks for our area, and you got to have diverse talents to run each one of them, and I was able to succeed there quite a bit, and it's just, again, from the people that were around and having equipment to do it, and, you know, the one thing I was a little disappointed, we left too much on the table this year. We'd had a shot at winning that again, and, you know, I think I got 13 out of 23. That's pretty crazy.
Yeah, it is.
Hey, Fred, I'd just like to touch a little bit on something I didn't know until today when I looked it up. Of course, we all know that you didn't come from the traditional sprint car background as most guys come into sprint car racing. You came in through the modifieds, but I didn't realize that you had 99 modified wins and 7 track championships while in the modifieds. That seems like, you know, an amazing feat for the short time you were there. I mean, maybe it didn't seem short to you, but I remember back then when you were running modifieds, and it didn't seem like you were running modifieds that long.
I'll tell you what, back then, racing was so much more fun than it is today. I mean, you could never do what we did back then. I mean, I hope this isn't a totally family show because we were
No, go ahead.
I mean, we get drunk every night. I mean, and then go home and work on the car the next day, and then go get drunk again the next night. I think we just raced to get together so we could go out and have fun drinking and carrying on, and that's what really makes it amazing because, I mean, we did really well for the way we were doing it back then. And, it was really good. It was a lot of fun running modifieds, and it was a lot of good people, and it was just regular people. It wasn't millionaires, and it made it really special.
Now, you were a full-time racer back then, were you? You had a regular job just like the rest of us, right?
Yeah, pretty much. I've avoided work like the plague, but I had stuff we did, and you know, but we all sort of just stumbled through, and had an open trailer with no lights and no tag, and you know, to be consistent enough to win the championship and race against really good guys back at the time. But it was definitely different times, and I mean, everybody was just a low budget racer then, and it definitely was better racing back then and more fun.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now you grew up in a racing family, right?
Well, my dad raced, but he started when he was real late. And the reason I've had any success is because the way my dad taught me to race and taught me how to work. I mean, I kid about not working, but I work hard
just not what normal people do, or you know what I mean. But you know, to be prepared, and he taught me that. I mean, because you win the races at the garage. I mean, the track is the easy part. You know, the garage is where you win the races.
Yeah, and it seems like from all we can tell, is you're teaching your boys to do the same thing.
Well, yeah, I mean. My boys did at least 85% of the work on the cars, and this year we didn't fall out once. We had two motor problems, and that wasn't the motor builder's fault. It was because we were trying things to get better. You know, we knew that we had a time good this year, and he worked and tried to advance the motors, and every time you try and take a step forward, sometimes it bites you. But the motors ran really well, but as far as the car having a problem, we didn't fall out any races at all, and That's one thing it takes. You tow to the track, it costs X. You have to get a whole night to try and recoup some money. Falling out is unacceptable. And, you know, especially for something you can avoid at home.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Now, sticking a little bit with the boys here, both of them are going 410 next year?
Yeah, they're going to run Lincoln only, probably. Maybe Susquehanna if they're going okay. And I'm going to make them start in the back and learn to pass cars, not start in the front and drive to the back. So, you know, it's the only respectful thing to do to the other guys that race there. You know what I mean? So they learn to race and be in control. You got to start in the back, and when they can pass cars to get to the front, then we'll start thinking about starting them up front.
Right, right. I mean, well, we've seen them work from the back at Kutztown, and they can make it. They'll make it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, they whatchamacallit, they both drive well, but, you know, 410 is a different deal. I mean, it's going to be hard, and they're going to have their lumps, but I feel they should be okay. Like I said, I mean, they do have an advantage that we have a clue what to do with the car over some guys that are just starting out, but it's still a hard learning curve, and, you know, like I've already told them, I said the most fun you ever have in racing is when you're starting out and you think you're struggling. After you have any amount of success, it's all over. It's not fun. No.
Yeah.
I mean, it's fun, but it's not the same kind of fun. Learning is what's fun.
Right. Right. Now they're gonna be on triple X chassis next year.
Yeah, with triple X with Donott engines, and the cars work really well for me, and then people are good to me at triple X, and I couldn't be happier with the cars. I mean, we ran basically the same car all year, I think, till here toward the very end.
Toughest competitor in the sprint car you've raced against?
Well, I mean, obviously the toughest competitor that anybody raced against is Steve Kinzer, you know, but on a local level, I mean, there's a whole group of them. I would say the biggest and guy that I always wanted to beat the most when we first started racing would have been Kenny Adams. I mean, he made my head hurt. I mean, he was a really good racer, and we had a rivalry. I don't know what you would call a rivalry, or just wanted to beat each other in the sprint cars more than anything. I mean, to the point of where we would bet $20 if the other guy won, you had to go and pay him the front stretch at one point at Susquehanna. I mean, we would run into each other in warm-ups. I mean, one night we were at Susquehanna, and I got in a first lap crash and had to go to dead last. And they replaced the tire and a shock and a couple other items. And as I pulled out onto the track, Kenny Adams was going by as we're lining up, and he motioned me, and I could tell he was laughing, to go to the back. Well, at that point, it just flipped the switch, and I went, I'm winning tonight, and I'm passing him. Well, I drove by him. It went nonstop, and I drove by him for the lead, and I waved to him going by. I didn't care if I flipped out of the place, and I ended up winning the race. And the whole way home, it bothered me because I thought to myself, "There's no way we got the car that good after a crash. I must just be leaving so much on the table on a weekly deal." You know what I mean? And it bothered me for a long time because you don't always get that out. You would like to, but you don't. But I really loved racing against Kenny Adams. He's a great guy, and but somehow he ended up. I quit Go Hards to go to a deal that was supposed to be better, and it turned out to be the worst deal I was ever in, almost. And then he was having success, and I wanted to have the same success he did. So we worked hard to get there, and you know, it all worked out well, but it used to be a lot of fun. I mean, you talk about emotionally draining, it was really tough.
Oh, yeah. Now, you've been around the country several times racing. You've been on to Australia. Out of the tracks you've run, what has been your favorite racetrack?
You know, I don't know. I mean, I like quite a few of them. I always enjoyed Lernerville. When Don Martin had that place, he was such a great promoter. If it rained, he'd give you a motel room. If you had trouble, he'd help you out. You know what I mean? And for that reason, they were a good family of people out there. And there's so many good places, but I think Lernerville would be right up there. Grandview would have to be one of them. Silver Springs was good. Like, Grandview and Silver Springs provide some of the best racing. You wouldn't want to run sprint cars there every week because you would tear so much stuff up, it'd be ridiculous. But it's really good on every once in a while. I mean, it's really entertaining to drive. It has to be fun to watch. And they'd be two or three of the best ones that I know of.
Yeah, yeah. Now, I've got bit by the wingless bug. I went to some USAC stuff this year out in the Midwest. Now, the boys ran the Speedsters without the wing on at Kutztown this year. What are your feelings about wingless sprint car racing?
I seen some really good ones, and I seen some average ones. I mean, I went out to Ascot back years ago, obviously, and come home and said, well, that's the coolest thing I've ever seen. But, you know, I mean, they had a match race out there. I think Brad Knopfinger and I forget who was all in it, but everybody started on the pole, and it was really good racing. I mean, unbelievably good. But myself, I think the rules have screwed up our racing. I mean, they made it too much like NASCAR, and now we follow the leader in wing cars, you know, and a lot of nights. When the track gets properly prepared, it's as good a racing as there is.
Right.
Myself,
right.
You know what I mean? I wouldn't let my kids run non-wing cars because you're just going to hurt your head. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's good. It's the non-wing is good racing, but I enjoy the wing stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, we're going right into 410 sprint cars with the kids. Just why not like 360s or anything like that? We're just jumping.
Well, the 358s are the motor expense is just about as bad as a 410 at this point.
Okay.
And I'm not going to be able to, you know, waste a bunch of money on motors like that and then have to get different motors down the road. So pays more to start a sprint car, a 410 race, than it does to run third or fourth in a 358.
Okay.
You know, and whether or not, I don't know. I just think it's the way to go. I mean, like I said, that being said, I'm going to make them start last out of respect for the other competitors until they can drive around there where I think they're in control. I just don't see no. I mean, right now we have too many divisions of sprint cars. It thins it out too much. I mean, we need to lose a division. It's going to hurt somebody's feelings, but we either got a 305s, 358s, or something's got to go.
Yeah.
You know, we created the 358 thing to give these guys a stepping stone, but guys stepped the other way to be the big fish down there. And, you know, I don't think you have to win every night you race. You can run 10th with a 15th place car and have a good night. You know what I mean? I just think we gotta consolidate our cars and get down so we get better better racing. You know, I just think that's why I'm not going 358. Though I just think it's too much money for the rewards to possibly get. It's good racing. I'll be the first one to tell you that. But I just think, I mean, their car counts are suffering now. You know, as bad as anything.
Right. Now, I just got a text a little while ago from one of my friends that said he'd read on PA Posse's website that Sealands Grove has made the decision today to go 360s in 2014. Now,
another division.
Well,
I watch McCoy. I've done everything I could. Emmett Hahn wanted to bring 360s up here.
He's dead.
Whoa.
Yeah. Hang on, folks. Technical error. Yep, give him that. We'll switch headsets here.
Yeah, he went dead.
Yeah, he did. He crashed. All right, I'll take this one. You take that one, Fred. See that? We're professionals. See, Mrs. Raymer, we got this. Yep. See that? All right, we're back. All right. So, because, now they just said the 360s are coming, and like you just said, there's too many divisions.
Well, yeah, and I don't know what they're going to gain because, I mean, what does URC get, 17 cards?
Yeah.
I don't understand their thought process there, but whatever, it's not for me to decide. But, like I said, I just think they need to go back and consolidate a little bit and just get better car counts and better heat races and better features for the fans.
Right.
Now, how about the small car? I mean, you never like jumped into a midget or anything, did you?
Nah, I've run midgets a little bit, but not very much. And you know, again, they put on good racing. It's a good place to get hurt there too.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, them things start flipping, they really flip. But there again, they put on good racing. I never had too much of that. You know, when you race in Central PA, you can run 80 or 100 races.
Right.
Not so much today, but you still can race till your head hurts. I mean, you go. So never really had too much time for it.
Right. And I remember now, this is going back, you got back into a modified at Williams Grove a few years back. And there had to be a total, you know, because remember the old modifieds, and then you jumped into like a Bicknell or a Teal, and you ran at the Grove in the modified for a special show with Tony Stewart.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we actually were leading that and had a problem, but I at this point in time, I couldn't even get back into one if I wanted to. I couldn't physically get in there. You know what I mean? It's a different deal. I mean, you look at Billy Pouch, for instance, his versatility, the way he used to be able to go from one car to the other, is unbelievable. I mean, I don't know that I ever had that ability. He did. Kyle Larson surely seems to have it. I mean, he's incredible. But, you know, that wasn't my deal.
Right. You know. I mean, and that's it. I mean, the verse, I mean, what about, okay, I got to kill the rumor right now. Are you going to North Carolina to run World Finals? Let's kill
nah,
this for now.
Nah.
All right, cool.
I might go to North Carolina, but I won't be racing.
You're spectating.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Susquehanna for the 10 grand? You're going to leave 10 grand on the table?
I'm done racing.
You're done. This is it. So,
done.
Folks, Eric's seen, my buddy Eric here, he's seen you rookie race at Grandview Speedway. And we were at Lincoln Sunday, and he's seen your career end.
Yeah. So that means he's as old as I am then.
You know, and I just think that was like cool because I am from upstate New York, so I was a dirt guy. I was born with Donnelly. I didn't get to do sprint cars until I moved down here. And your name was famous wherever, all over the United States. I mean, you just mentioned Fast Freddy, and everybody knows we're talking about you.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean, I've done the best I could, and I won some races and been fortunate to do it.
Do you know who gave you the nickname Fast Freddy?
I would assume Ernie Saxton.
Bingo. Yep.
Uh-huh. Ernie Saxton used me, and he would get them people crazy up there at Grandview, which was – that's his job. That's what we need. We need some color, and you got to create a villain and a good guy, and I'm good with being the bad guy.
Yeah, and down at Lincoln, the villain and bad guy thing, Brian, you and Montez, it seems like the fans hate that's cat and mouse there.
Yeah, and Jeff Shepard and me, we had a good rivalry. And then we'd get the people in the stands crazy, and me and him would be back in the pits laughing together. You know, it was fun. It was fun.
Yeah, and so now that Lincoln, Montez shows up and, he tried, you're the king down there at Lincoln.
Every night there's a new king. I mean, I definitely had as much success or more, obviously, than 90% of the guys. I mean, I'm sure Mr. Smith said the same thing. I want to see somebody do 70. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
In this day and age, that'll be pretty. It'd be pretty impressive.
And there was a time down at Lincoln where you won like 11 in a row down at Lincoln.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, it was pretty crazy.
That's pretty impressive, Fred.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. A lot of fun, and I think we did an outlaw race in there and an all-star race too. So it wasn't just regular guys. It was a bunch of guys.
So when Tony came in the area, people kept saying, you and Tony, when he comes, did he come to Freddie and say, hey, I need, what's the setup here? Or was he in the ballpark?
Nah, quite the opposite. He don't need no help. I actually, Jimmy Carr is his mechanic, and he's a friend of mine as well. And Jimmy has always helped me out too. So, yeah, a guy like Tony, he don't need no help.
Right. And are you happy? I mean, Avi, you said this too, because when you were on the good years, you didn't have it.
Yeah, obviously, it's in racing, whether it's a weather pattern or a track condition, it fits one guy's deal and not another.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Donnie Kreitz and me, we stank on the good years. And I, you know, now that I look at it, maybe if I'd have been with Moon, maybe Moon could have made the good years work for me, because we never ventured anywhere near where we are with the Hoosiers. But I believe that the Hoosier tire, you know, is a really good race car tire, and it changed everything for me. It made me feel what I need to feel in the car to do what I thought we needed to do, and then, you know, I could give Moon some feedback and my boy, and go from there. But it definitely, and Donnie Kreitz is another example. I think it's an old school tire, and I think it just helped us out.
Right. You know. So your stats are unbelievable. I mean, and I've been to 61 races this year, and you've raced 65.
Yeah.
You know. And I'm just a fan.
And in all honesty, that's way down. I mean, I took off a lot of nights. I mean, I think the most races I ever ran, and I was working at my father-in-law's body shop at the time, I think I ran 120 some races 1 year. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So and worked. So
yeah, because and the boys, I mean, once you know the boys get a few years under their belt, you can race in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, you can race a lot. You can race a lot. We're, you know, to be able to do what I've been lucky enough to do, you got to be an area that has good car owners and good racetracks. Pennsylvania's that. I mean, in the United States, we race more here than anywhere. Nobody's even close.
Yeah. Right.
Just very fortunate that that's where we live.
Uh-huh. I mean, like, Florida, how was it like when you used to go down to Florida? I mean, just...
It's different. I mean, you know, you can be a big dog around your house.
Mm-hmm.
You go somewhere else, you're just one of the boys, and you can get humbled pretty quick. Ohio's a different kind of racing, and if I'd go out there, I'd probably get an ass-whooping out there, you know what I mean?
Oh.
But, you know, you just got to know your limitations, and it's like anything, going to Knoxville or Eldora, you can't show up there one time a year and think you're going to be one of the boys. You know, we got lucky enough to win a couple races there, but when it gets down to Knoxville kind of racing, them guys are really good, and it makes it tough, so they put on great racing, and it's hard to just go in somebody else's backyard and do really good, but, you know, that's why it's good to race again in Pennsylvania, because you could stay home and make a good living and win a lot of races.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
These guys are talkers. So, and then Mr. Seals helps you this year. He picks up the ride. I mean, how did that come about? Did he just, you know, because you left the other ride?
Yeah. Oh, I had actually hooked Moon up with him to help Derek out. And,
okay.
Sort of all just fell together, and then, you know, we got all my sponsors on board, and, you know, together we were just like a lot of people do. You know, it takes quite a few people today to field a car, and that's what we're able to do this year, and, you know, I surely appreciate it, because I only raced this year for one reason, and that was to prove a point. I wasn't going to quit on a bad year. I only raced this year to go out on my own terms, and that's what I ended up doing, and it was fortunate enough that Rob gave me the opportunity to do that, but I wasn't going to let somebody else dictate my exit.
Uh-huh. I mean, Hollywood couldn't even have wrote a story about this, you know? All right. Yeah, so. Okay, apparently we're going to have some audience questions. You cool? You want to answer some questions?
Sure.
You know? All right.
Hello, folks. Joe is back here. We've got to swap headsets here because we had a computer die out on us here. Have a couple interesting audience questions here for you, Fred. What do you think was your most challenging track that you ever raced at?
Probably Knoxville, and truthfully, I never really achieved what we should have there. I mean, I could run there when it was wet, but anybody can drive on a racetrack when it's wet.
Mm-hmm.
The run program on that black slick stuff, never really mastered that. So I would say Knoxville for sure.
Very good. Thank you very much. Thank you for the question over there. I think I know the answer to this, but I'm going to have you answer it for me. What win is the most memorable?
Well, as of right now, I mean, obviously the National Open. But, you know, when we ran in Phoenix, that was pretty cool, too. There's a lot of them, I mean, but obviously the Knox or the Nationals the other day or whenever it was a couple weeks ago, by far. You know, like I said, to be able to win the last outlaw race you ever run, that's incredibly hard to do. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it is.
For it to be the Nationals was like crazy, and the fans and the competitors really made it special.
Yeah,
so that that's without question the best race I've ever
won. It was the stuff legends are written from. The other question I have for you here is a hypothetical question. If you had not gone sprint car racing, you have a total of somewhere around 519 career wins or something ridiculous like that. Had you not gone sprint car racing and you stayed in the modifieds, do you think you would have gone dirt series? And how many titles do you think you could have won? And how many features do you think you could have pulled out? I mean, again, it's very hypothetical, but it's a very interesting question.
Yeah, I don't think it'd have been all that many because you got to be really willing to work hard to run modifieds for that amount of time. Billy Pouch just won 700 the other day.
Yes.
Probably 701 by now. Brett Hearn. That's incredible because a modified is like not twice as much work. It's probably 10 times more work than a sprint car.
Yeah.
And I'm energetic. I don't know that I'm that energetic. them guys are something else. And, I can tell you this, I'd have done the best I could and as long as I could, but that'd have been hard to do. I mean, I go down there when I got hurt there and I watched Dwayne and them guys down at Grandview. And it's amazing that they could still start in the back like that. And they put on a really good show. I actually think, I didn't watch races back when I ran there. They actually put on really good racing at Grandview now. I mean,
they do.
Pretty entertaining.
I agree.
It's amazing that them guys, Von Dorn and Strunk and Dwayne, are able to come from the back every week, not get bent up, and do what they do. It's amazing to watch.
It truly is. I tell as many Grandview fans as possible that are willing to listen to me, they don't realize. They're kind of spoiled. They truly are.
I would say Grandview by far as a spectator track is hands down as good as there is. I mean, hands down. And actually, they've got the show going to where it's a very timely event and very entertaining, and it's pretty impressive.
Exactly. Good stuff. Well, that's going to wrap it up for my audience questions here. I appreciate you guys sending questions in for us. Thank you very much. And I'm going to turn the headset back over to Whitney.
All right, we're back. That's pretty impressive to say Grandview, because I moved down here in 96, and I went to Grandview, and I've been going, so Grandview is a hot spot. So,
yeah, it's obviously, it's always good racing, and anything can happen, and it's quick, and it's intense, and it's just a good racetrack to race at and to watch.
I remember there was a 76er, and you showed up, I think Rankin might have rained out or something, but you showed up as a 6er to one day, and before you even made it signed in at the gate, people were asking if you would drive their modified.
I absolutely know my limitations, and I was way past that. I mean, it would be disrespectful to think that I could jump in one of them and run with them guys today. They've worked hard to get what they're doing today down to a science, and there's no way I could just go back there on a one-off and be competitive with them guys. It'd be foolish to even think.
Yeah. So now, I mean, it's over. It's over, Fred. What are you going to do February 22nd? The boys are going to go, and you're going to be in the pits on top of the trailer.
Yep.
Are you a good fan?
I doubt it, but I'm not going to be a fan. I'm not going to be a fan. I'm going to be a competitor. I just won't be behind the wheel. So, you know what I mean? And I'm good with that at this point, and I know I will be next year.
Mm-hmm. You going to be a good car owner?
I doubt it. Yeah. I know it's going to be challenging, but I'm looking forward to it. My boys are looking forward to it, and it'll be interesting. It's just, I'll still have the competitive thing going on, which is good. So it'll be good.
Mm-hmm. Well, hey, I mean, the people here come. You are. It's just. It's a privilege to have someone be able to watch your career. It's just what you've achieved, and I never would have thought I'd see the great. You are the greatest sprint car driver in the state of Pennsylvania, maybe in the nation.
Well, I don't know about that. I mean,
I'm sure you don't like to be patted on the back, but true, it is.
I've done it for a long time and was able to rack up a lot of statistics, but statistics aren't reality a lot of times. I mean, I've done good, and there's a lot of guys that are way better than me, but. I did the best I could, and that's all I can ask. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Where's all the trophies?
Yeah, we got quite a few in my shop, but it's one of them deals.
Now, Fred, that the
that the driving phase is over. You're going to move into your car ownership phase, I think, gracefully. Have you ever thought, I know you're a very humble person, have you ever thought about using your name for racing promotions such as getting more TV involved, getting some bigger sponsors involved? Do you feel that there's enough sprint car racing on TV? Do you feel that we need some more to help promote the sport?
Personally, I mean, the only person, and this is just my opinion, the only person that really appreciates a sprint car race on TV is one that's never been to a sprint car race. Sprint car racing, you need to be at the racetrack.
That's a very good point.
The best race might be for 10th and 12th, 10th and 11th, whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, on TV, they show the guy they want to show. I mean, obviously, myself, I think sprint car racing should always just be Saturday night racing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want it to be NASCAR because...
Yeah,
I'm not a, you know, I don't know. I know I've listened the whole time I've raced how we need to get TV so we get national sponsors. Sprint car racing is Saturday night racing, and I hope it never gets more than that myself. You know what I mean? I realize it's a very costly, you know, thing to do. I just, you know, I don't think sprint car racing really comes across very well on TV myself. Maybe with tape delay it does, you know what I mean? But a live TV race, as a competitor, I don't even find it interesting to watch most of the time. You know,
is that
I mean?
Right? Interesting.
You know,
the reason I asked that was because sprint car racing has become, and you know this, so expensive to be to you can operate at a level, and then there's another level that you need to operate to get to, and it's very costly.
It definitely is to do the World Outlaws. I don't think, you know, and we didn't spend a ton of money this year. I mean, it's a ton of money to me, but not what I've raced with in the past.
Exactly.
And we've had pretty good success. I think a lot of times we overspend, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Which I won't be in that situation next year, but it is expensive, and it is a shame because it was a lot better when it was just, you know, there was a lot more car rides back in the day.
Yes, there was.
Gas station owners had the cars and all that stuff, and today you got to have millionaires, and there's not too many good ones of them, you know what I mean, that are still in the sport.
Exactly. Exactly. Do you miss the good old days?
Yeah, I do, and then that's another reason, you know, it's time to get out. I mean, you always remember things better than they were, but... It was way different before you could just get on the internet and call somebody for all the parts that the Panthers have and stuff. And you used to have to work hard, and now you just call up and get the stuff. And I don't know, it's a lot different. And a lot of it is, I think, track preparation. We keep blaming the race cars and the speed and this, that, and the other thing. I think if the tracks are prepared properly, the race could be just as good as far as I'm concerned. But
very good.
It's hard to get them guys to do that because it all comes down to track preparation.
Very good. Interesting. I tell you what, Fred, you've been an awesome, awesome, awesome guest here. Everyone here has just appreciated this year. You've been talking to us for a long time, and we definitely appreciate it. I think we'll just wrap up with you here now and let you get out of here. I can't thank you enough. I thank everybody here for coming out. We really appreciate it. It's great stuff. I mean, we have... I know you don't want to hear this, Fred, but you're a legend in sprint car racing, and that's just the way it is, and we're lucky enough to have you here on our humble little low-down and dirty program, and we can't thank you enough for coming on the show for us.
Well, I've been lucky to do it, and I appreciate you having me on, and, you know, hopefully I'll still be around racing and still be able to contribute to try and entertain some people, and that's all it's about. And, you know, looking forward to getting with it, my boys, and then see what else we got going on.
Well, you're close to the venue here at the Wingman here in East Greenville. We've seen you patronize this place a few times while we were here, and we have you on as a retiring sprint car racer right now. The next time we have you on, we're going to have you on as a sprint car owner with your boys. So we're very much looking forward to that, and please keep us informed and let us know how the boys are doing. And just loved having you on. It's been absolutely an honor and a pleasure to have you here. I mean that from the bottom of my heart. It's been really great.
No problem. I enjoyed being here.
Awesome. Good stuff. Fred Raymer, everybody. Thank you so much.
Thanks,
thank you.
Fred. Appreciate it so much. Thank you, sir.
The Godfather. We just had the Godfather whip. I mean,
I would have loved to have gone. We have a few more minutes left here in the show, but Fred has – he's been a trooper. He's been talking
trooper,
the
man.
Entire time, and we just wanted to give him a little bit of a break.
Yeah.
Just unbelievable. Some great
Dude.
Stories, great stuff, great outlook on things, and
I've been
unreal.
Doing this for 14 years. That's the biggest thing I ever did right there.
But I thought sitting next to me every week was the biggest.
Sorry,
no,
that
no.
is right now.
That
yeah.
Trump. That
yeah,
Trump.
That trumped everything. Sorry,
yeah.
guys.
Scotty, you mean nothing to us. You're dead to us, buddy.
Yeah.
Sorry.
When I made that phone call to him and asked him to come on the show, I about dropped my phone on the job site.
I tell you what, as I mentioned a little bit ago, Fred patronized this wingman here while we were doing the show. And you guys got photographs and everything. And I talked to Fred about being on the show. And he said, I want to do this, but not until after the National Open. And I said, I can respect that. And he's a man of his word. And I really appreciate that.
Yeah,
he was very
appreciate that.
So that was all cool. So we definitely appreciate him coming on. It was good stuff.
Yeah.
Good show tonight.
Yep. Need to get a picture of the three of us with Mr. Raymer.
We will do that. We're going to actually wrap the show a little bit early here because Fred is getting inundated with photos and autographs.
The paparazzi has arrived.
The paparazzi is here, so there's camera phones and all kind of cameras flashing off here, so it's just been great stuff. So from everybody here at Low Down and Dirty, we thank you so much for tuning in. We hope you were even half as entertained as what we were here. We had a great time. We appreciate everybody coming out. We're going to see you all right here next week at 8:05 for some more Low Down and Dirty Live. So please tune in next week. Thank you again for listening, and we're going to see you all very, very soon. Good night, everybody.
All right. Thanks. Good night.